Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we also have a website, propheticnews.com. We have two YouTube channels, one under my name, Susan Puzio, and the other one is Greedy Preachers TV. Oh, we see enough of that, don't we? Oh my, we really live in some perilous times, I must say. And today my topic will be Paula White gets married or is getting married, and for the third time. And also we're going to check up on Rod Parsley, because remember we did a program a few weeks ago about Rod Parsley and his Jubilee, his resurrection seed offering, which had something to do with Passover. But now he says in his latest broadcast that God will give you a second chance. If you missed out on the original offering, which he said you had to get in on it right then, you had to get in on it. But now he's telling you, I guess maybe he didn't get enough money during his resurrection seed scam. So now he says that God is going to give you a second chance to get in on the action. So these people never cease to amaze me. So, but just to talk about a few things that were in the news this week, the former football player for the New England Patriots, Aaron Hernandez, who had just signed a $40 million contract. Now imagine this guy, he was 22 or 23 years old, and he signs a $40 million contract, and then what does he do? But he supposedly turned to crime. Possibly they're saying that he had some gang affiliations. They didn't really bring that out in the trial, but it seems like he did have some gang affiliations. And some of these gangs, they do require as an initiation. I'm not saying this happened in his case, but just from what I've read, that they do require that you have to kill somebody to be initiated into these gangs. So anyway, he was found guilty this week of first-degree murder for murdering his one of his so-called best friends. The man was shot in the back. And this is how arrogant, really, Aaron Hernandez is, that he actually had video surveillance equipment at his home. And he... four people leave in his car, and then only three people come back, because they left this man, Odin Lloyd, they left him in the field there after he was shot six or more times. And then they came back, and it was on video surveillance that only three people could come back in the car. And then there's also some footage of him, what it seems like he's holding a gun in his house. So just they say that he smoked angel dust. So yeah, it seemed like this guy was delusional, but how sad, because his sentence is life in prison with no possibility of parole. So barring a miracle, he's not ever getting out, and it has to be a big shock. But I would encourage people to write to him, maybe be a pen pal, send him some gospel tracts, let him know you're praying for him, because the only thing that's going to change this man, it wasn't money, it wasn't fame, it wasn't having a little girl. Nothing seemed to matter to this man, and he really needs Jesus. But it just goes to show you that no matter how much money you have, it doesn't necessarily make you happy. We find the Bible says that godliness with contentment brings great gain. So, but that's not what the prosperity teachers tell you. They promise you debt cancellation. They promise you that you're going to have a jubilee. They promise you that you can have whatever you say. If you can dream it, you can have it. And that's not real life, because Jesus, this is one of the promises that Jesus made to us. In this world, you will have tribulation. So they don't like to tell you that. They like you to think that you're born and you have a purpose and you have a vision and you have a destiny. But your destiny might be to die a martyr. That might be your destiny. That was the destiny of the 11 apostles who died as martyrs for their faith. So that was their destiny. So we don't know what's going to happen to us in this life. Really, we just don't know from one day to the next. And so the best way is to live your life, live an honest life, pay your bills, and be content with what you have. But I just wanted to read a few scriptures here. And let me just read this to you here. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. In the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men. In destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So that's a good word. And the best way to have prosperity is to get a job, go to work every day, live within your means. I'm not saying God can't give you a miracle. Yes, there's some ways that God can get money to you, but he's not going to rain it out of the sky. He's not going to give it to you because you sow seeds and because you tithe. He's going to give it to you because he sees that you're a person of integrity, you're a person of honesty, you're a person that does what they say, you keep your word, you don't steal, you do the right thing. So, yeah, we have to live our lives like that. And it just doesn't work like these people tell you it's going to work, that they always see all these tremendous things for you, but you may have to go through some things in your life, and that's how life is. Some people have more than others, but we're not supposed to covet other people's goods. That's not supposed to be our business. And unless they got it, like most of these so-called prosperity preachers that have a lot of money and they like to tell you about all the money they have, but they didn't get it through honest labor. So even if you look at 2 Thessalonians and you look at chapter 3, it says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor," work, "and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but we make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle," note that man. That means tell other people, note him, "and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." So, there you go, okay? Now, you don't hear too many prosperity preachers telling you that. They tell you that all you have to do is give me some money and, or give it to God. They tell you give it to God, which we know God doesn't need any money. They need money. So you're giving it to them. When you give money at church or wherever you give money, you're giving it to a human being to use it for whatever they want to use it for. So it's not spiritual money. Money's not spiritual. You're just giving a gift to someone because you're supposed to give it because you love that person. That's why you're supposed to give it. I want to do something nice for somebody. And so I'm going to give this gift, and whether I get anything back, I don't know about you, but if somebody just wants to be my friend because they want something from me, I don't like that. So you think God likes that? No. Does anybody like that? No. So then why are these teachers teaching people that this is the way we're supposed to live? If you look at most of the church world, the visible church world, and television that they call Christian, it's just full of heretics and money changers and the most ungodly people. I was telling a friend the other day, there must be, and the thing is, they do it because it still works. So there must be over $1 billion being given to these preachers with all these networks that they have. Jimmy Swaggart has his own satellite network. You have Morris Cirillo and his son have a satellite network. You have the Daystar network. You have TBN. You have CBN. You have God TV. There's quite a few of them out there. And some of these networks claim they're taking in $50 million or $100 million a year. So there has to be billions of dollars that's going out to these people currently to keep these so-called ministries afloat. But I believe that these people are overextended for the most part. They're overextended. And television is not going to be the big thing in the future. So there's going to be other ways people are going to receive television besides from these networks. So eventually they're going to be hurting. And we've seen quite a few of these ministries go down the tubes lately. So, for instance, and I'm going to play a few clips here because we talked about Paula White last week, and Sunday she announced that she got married, supposedly. Now, this is her third marriage, and this was, to me, was very suspicious because there had been a lot of pictures on the internet of her and this man, Jonathan Cain, which that's not his real name. But anyway, he was with the band Journey. They were quite popular back in the, I don't know, 70s or the 80s or whatever, a rock and roll band. And I think he's 65. I'm not perfectly sure of his age, but I think he's around that age. But so anyway, she hooks up with this guy, and there's a lot of pictures of them going on vacation, and she's flying around to his rock and roll concerts. And she introduced this man on New Year's Eve at her church there, New Destiny Christian Center in Apopka, Florida, the little kind of one-horse town over there outside of Orlando. But she introduced him, and it was kind of strange to me because looking at the video, she introduced this man, and you know, they're kissing up there on the platform, and to me, who does that? Like, what pastor introduce their boyfriend or girlfriend and they're necking on the platform? It was strange to me. And then anyway, he gets up and he performs Journey songs there at the church, and he's telling the people to sing along with him, but most of these people don't even know who Journey is. They probably never heard a Journey song because it's an old rock and roll band, old. So then when he was finished, he never really said anything about Jesus. So then he does a Hindu bow. Hindus, they put their hands together and they bow. He does a Hindu bow, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't know about this guy. It was all very strange to me. And so anyway, she introduces him as her Boaz, whatever. And so now, I guess, who knows what happened. Maybe people were asking, like, why is this guy always at her house? Why is he, because she hasn't said anything about getting married. But anyway, on Sunday, she announces that they got They sealed the deal, is what they said. Now, to me, that's a very strange way of announcing that you were married. We sealed the deal in Ghana, and he never says, this is my wife. Look, this is my beautiful wife. He never says that. Now, that's odd to me, because usually newlyweds, they usually are excited about getting married, and so they tell you they got married, and this is my beautiful wife. And she did introduce him as her husband when she introduced him. She did say that. But they were a little sketchy with the facts of this thing. Now, it was very odd to me, because why did they get married in Ghana? That's odd in the first place, because supposedly one of her spiritual daddies, or whatever that's supposed to mean, this Bishop Duncan, has a church there. So they supposedly got married on this prayer mountain. And why do you go to Ghana to get married, and then you come back to Orlando, and then she's going to have a wedding on the 25th, a private wedding, private now, on the 25th of April, and then supposedly having another wedding, a public wedding for the church folk over there at New Destiny at 6 o'clock on Sunday. So now, that to me, that's all very, very strange, because why do you get married in Ghana? You sealed the deal, they say. We sealed the deal. And then you go and you're going to have a private wedding for your church, and your church family is not invited, of course, because, you know, they don't. Jonathan doesn't really want his rock and roll buddies or whoever else is going to come over there to see these people at New Destiny. No, they don't want to hang out with those people. T.D. Jakes doesn't want to hang out with those people over there. So she's going to have a private wedding only for, you know, a segregated wedding there on Saturday. And then for the so-called family over there at New Destiny, then they're going to have a 6 o'clock wedding, and they're going to have cake and punch for the church folk. Okay, so that's a little odd to me, because supposedly she loves those people over there, but they're not invited to her real wedding. No, they can't go to that. No, and trust me, that's not going to be at New Destiny Christian Center either. No, she's not getting married over there. Uh-uh. So that was the announcement. And now, I don't know if this man, Jonathan Cain Frigo, whatever his name is really born again. I don't know. I don't know his heart. I haven't really heard his testimony. I never heard, from what I heard him speak, and I haven't heard him speak that much, but I never heard him talk about Jesus, really say the name of Jesus or lift Jesus up. I haven't heard that. And I'm wondering why now this man on his Instagram account says that he's a Pisces. Now we know, don't we, that astrology and Christianity don't go together. When you're born again, you don't get yourself involved in astrology. We don't do astrology, because that's witchcraft. So if this is Paula White's new husband, and like he posted in February something about being a Pisces, and then he posted again in April something about Pisces. So you think that maybe if he had said something in February about being a Pisces, that she would have said, you know what, honey? We don't do astrology, but obviously nobody ever told him that he's not supposed to do astrology as a Christian. So I think that's a little odd to me. that's a little strange. So I don't know about this guy. Supposedly he's wealthy, and he might be. I don't know how much money he has. He's had two other wives, and his last wife, I think he divorced in 2012, and he was married to her for over 20 years. They had three beautiful children. And so I don't know how much money he has, but it's not for somebody that's supposedly a pastor. And Paula claims she's been in the ministry since she's 18, and I don't know, she's in her late 40s now. How do you marry a guy that's like a baby Christian, or maybe not even really a Christian? I don't know. It's all very, very strange. So anyway, I'm going to play some clips, and I'm sure that probably the ceremony will be live streamed on her New Destiny Church website for all to see, but it's a strange thing. And Paula White, to me, Paula White is not a Christian. I don't think she's saved. Paula needs to repent and stop fleecing people, because it never ends. If somebody can actually stand up and cry out, "Oh, I love the Lord and I repent before the Lord for all the things I've done," and then you just go right back to fleecing people to get offerings, then you don't love the Lord. No, you don't love the Lord. No, because if you really love the Lord, you do the right thing. If you really love the Lord and you know the Lord, then you follow the Lord's principles. And Paula claims to be rich. She says she's rich. And so why does she let her use her own money over there to build her vision that she has over there? And leave those poor people over there at New Destiny alone. Leave them alone already. Leave them alone. Because 99% of those people over there are poor. They're poor. They're just average people. Probably most of them are on food stamps or some kind of government assistance. But they go there because she's promising them the world, that God's going to give you this and God's going to give you that, and this is your year of destiny, and this is this and this is that. But those things aren't true. Paula was a flop herself. How is Paula going to give anybody advice over there at New Destiny Christian Center when she bankrupted two churches? And in one of the clips I'm going to play, she claims that she's had hundreds of millions of dollars flow through her hands. Okay, you had hundreds of millions of dollars flow through your hands, and two of the churches that you pastored in Lakeland and Tampa now are bankrupt and boarded up, and one of them was demolished. The one in Lakeland was demolished. It was torn down, the 10,000-seat auditorium. You left a baby grand piano there to collect mold. I saw the pictures. The pictures are on the internet. You left other musical instruments there to mold that you could have sold. You left a whole big garage size room full of clothing. You left food there to rot. You left furniture. You left all kinds of things there just to rot. That could have been given away or sold to pay your debts and to pay your bills. So how are you going to teach anybody about being prosperous when you've been a flop yourself? That's not success. No, that's not success. If you've had hundreds of millions of dollars flowing through your hands and you're rich and you're never going to have to work, then how did two, and I saw the buildings, I was there, okay, I went there personally, I took pictures, I took video, I saw both buildings. I was at the building in Tampa about 3 or 4 months ago. It's closed up. It's boarded up. Their 4,000 or 5,000 seat sanctuary they had there, it's all boarded up, closed up. Randy had to file for bankruptcy, her former husband. Their former administration building, the five-story building, it's boarded up, closed up, weeds growing. There was a dirty mattress outside somebody threw out over there. There was a truck that was left there, a big semi, and that was looked like it was rusting. And, okay, so that was the big, that was the prosperous Paula White, who's had hundreds of millions of dollars flow through her hands. That's what she left in Tampa. I also was over at Lakeland a few months ago, and I took pictures and video. The place was boarded up. The place was vandalized. There was hundreds of broken windows there. So, no, you can't give me any advice, Paula. Stop, okay? Just stop lying. Just stop lying, okay? You were not a success in Tampa. You were not a success in Lakeland. No, that's not success, filing for bankruptcy and leaving buildings, especially the one in Lakeland, this beautiful 10,000-seat auditorium that you left with the roof leaking and the plumbing overflowing and broken windows and air conditioning system being vandalized. No, that's not prosperity. No, you can't teach me anything. If Paula White would stand up at New Destiny Christian Center and say, look, I am a flop, okay? I blew it. I mismanaged my hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't really know what I'm talking about. So I can't really tell you how to get prosperous because I wasn't so successful myself. Just tell the truth, okay? Tell the truth, all right? You had, at one point, and it was reported in the newspaper that they had over $35 million or so come in 1 year that was documented. And where did that money go? What happened to it? Okay, because they didn't pay their mortgages. They didn't pay their creditors. So Randy didn't put up with it. He divorced her. They got divorced in 2007 because she was telling Randy that, and it's on audio, you can hear it on audio, where he says, She wants him to submit to her, and he says, don't worry, Paula, I'm going to submit to you. Well, that didn't last too long. You think this guy, Jonathan Cain, this rock and roller who's been a businessman for the last 30 or 40 years, a pretty successful businessman, and still travels around doing concerts with his rock and roll band, you think that this guy is going to submit to her? I don't think so. That's not going to last. No, the honeymoon will be over shortly. And then Jonathan Cain, Friga, or however you pronounce his last name, I don't know, he has an Italian name. No, that's not going to last, okay? Because she is not going to be Pastor Paula to him and Apostle Paula to him. No, he's not going to submit to her. No, that's not going to last. Randy wouldn't do it either. So even he wouldn't do it. So, no, that's not going to last. So just tell people the truth. If you made a mistake, anybody can forgive somebody for making a mistake. We've all made mistakes. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But please don't get up in front of people and tell people what a success you are when you were not a success. You were not a success. And the only thing that saved Paula White's ministry was the fact that she managed to bamboozle those people over there at New Destiny and wrestle that place away from Reva Timms, the founder's ex-wife, Zachary Timms, and she managed somehow, I don't know how she did it, to get that place over there. And that's basically what saved her So, no, don't tell people how successful that you've had all these businesses and you're successful. And no, you weren't successful. That's the truth. You were not successful. You mismanaged your money. You mismanaged the church's money. That's all documented. You can read all the documentation on the internet, all the newspaper stories that the Tampa Tribune did there in Tampa, the Lakeland Ledger. It's all been documented by these newspapers, and they were not sued by the whites. So the fact that they were not sued by the whites for reporting these stories means that the stories were true, because we don't, I try to be careful about what I say. I don't report or try not to report things or say things that I know that aren't factual. I have to have evidence that these things that I'm saying are factual. Otherwise, I'm not going to report it. I don't go out looking for stories. I report on things that I see that have already happened and somebody else already reported on. So that's what I do. I don't make stuff up and try to spice things up. I'm just telling you the facts. And the facts are out there for anybody that wants to investigate the facts. They're out there. And, you know, maybe there's some people that actually were a part of Paula White Ministries or some of the people that have gone to Without Walls, which, you know, it's really Without Walls now in Lakeland because the church was torn down. And maybe they can share some insights about what actually happened there. But I don't wish Paula White any harm. No. You know, it's up to the Lord to judge her. I wish her no harm, but I wish she would repent or go away. Just get another business, okay? Do something else besides preaching and fleecing people. Don't use the Bible as a way to manipulate people and to promise people that, oh, wow, look, you could be as successful as me. No, I don't want that kind of success. I don't think anybody wants that so-called kind of success that Paula White is pushing, okay? It's not true. So I would like to see her repent and just, you know, come clean. If you want to be a Bible teacher, please read the Bible, read it, and study it, and then come back and then be a Bible teacher. But don't claim to be a Bible teacher if you don't even know what the Bible says. You're just making stuff up. That's not a Bible teacher. That's not a Bible teacher. Don't take scripture and twist it for your own gain. No, just please get another job, okay? Just go away. Repent or go away. That's the best thing that you all can do, both Paula White and Rod Parsley. The best thing they can do is either repent and get another job and just leave people alone. Just leave them alone. That's it. Let people, if you want to, go to church, go to the fellowship hall there, because we are the church. The church is not a building. We are the church. And if you want to go over to a building on Sunday and fellowship with the saints and worship God and hear a good teaching from the Bible, a real teaching from the Bible, and that's fine, okay? And if the pastor wants to take up an offering, that's fine too. There's nothing wrong with taking up offerings. But just don't lie to people. Don't promise them the world. Don't tell them they're cursed if they don't. Just be honest with people. Be honest. And that all is good. That's fine. That's pleasing in the sight of the Lord. But this other stuff that they call church, it's not pleasing to God. Not pleasing at all. So I'm going to play this clip. I think I have a caller also. And after I play this clip, I'll take this call, 501, okay? So let's hear also Paula tell, now Listen to this. Now, Paula Ashley, if you talk about Paula, I want you to hear what Paula has to say to you, okay? Listen to this.
This person, I'm having a call, and this person got bit by a spider, and this person almost gets fired, and this person's in the hospital, and this person going through that, and this, and it hasn't stopped all week, has it, Elder? And so I started, so by today, I'm like, okay, and so I'm just continuing, I'm like, and Papa told me there's going to be a lot of contention right before the wedding, because we're right doing the original intention, although we're already, y'all know the whole deal with sealed in Ghana, but before we publicly, everything. So I was like, okay, and I was still good. And all of a sudden, I went to get in the car, and my back went out. And I'm saying this for a reason. My whole back goes out. And I looked at John, and I said, man, I couldn't even hardly walk. And I thought, and it didn't, you know, I'm not a whiner and complainer, and I'm thinking, this is kind of weird. And we had a 1 o'clock meeting, and so I'm, and all of a sudden, I get this emergency phone call from Papa. And he's in the States, and he says, I need you to pray, and I need you to make a phone call for me to do a few different things. He said, had to go to the emergency room. He said, my back went out. The moment he said that, I said, oh, now I get it. I go, okay, well, whoever's shooting arrows at me, to hell with them, Pastor Edward, because whoever is messing.
Yeah, now, what pastor talks like that? What pastor talks like that? Whoever is shooting arrows at me, to hell with them. Yeah, that's pulpit language? I don't think so. Here. Play it again.
In the car, and my back went out. And I'm saying this for a reason. My whole back goes out. And I looked at John, and I said, man, I couldn't even hardly walk. And I thought, and it didn't, you know, I'm not a whiner and complainer, and I'm thinking, this is kind of weird. And we had a 1 o'clock meeting, and so I'm, and all of a sudden I get this emergency phone call from Papa. And he's in the States, and he says, I need you to pray, and I need you to make a phone call for me to do a few different things. He said, had to go to the emergency room. He said, my back went out. The moment he said that, I said, oh, now I get it. I go, okay, well, whoever's shooting arrows at me, to hell with them, Pastor Edward, because whoever is messing, okay, all you have to do is push me a little that I see it's the enemy, and after I see the enemy coming after you, coming after my children, coming after anything in your life, anything in this ministry, anything, she bear will rise up. So everybody in strike force, come on, let every demonic Jezebel spirit manipulating demonic harassment agent on assignment know that we're going after it. I'm going to put you on fasting and prayer in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. I'm about to deploy, because you are not fighting a natural battle. You're fighting a spiritual battle, and our weapons of warfare are not carnal.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. You know, the thing is, she says, well, if anybody says anything about my family or you, you know, the church congregation, who's going to protect people from Paula? Who's protecting them from her? That's who she should be concerned about. And who talks like that on a, this just was her, part of her Thursday night sermon just this past Thursday, that, oh, and that she didn't only say that, she said that 3 or 4 times about, they can go to hell. Who talks like that? Does your pastor talk like that? Like, would you put up with it? Would you let your children sit there and listen to your, so-called pastor talking like that? I thought it was funny too, because at one point she's binding things, and then she said she's supposedly binding the monitoring spirit, people that monitor her. Well, we're supposed to be monitoring these people, because we're supposed to expose heresy. The Bible says a heretic, go and read it yourself, a heretic after the first and second admonition, and that's what we're doing here, admonishing, reject. So if people are teaching heresy, you admonish them once, you admonish them twice, and if they don't change and repent, you reject them. So it's time for people to reject Paula White and her false teachings. So if she doesn't get it and she thinks it's the devil, no, it's not the devil. No, it's not the devil. It's you. It's you, not the devil. You can scream at the devil all you want, but it's not the devil. It's you. So let me see if I have a call here. I'm not sure if this person is listening. 501, are you just listening or do you have a comment?
I have a quick comment. Thank you so much. I think this is terrible. You know, Paula White is in a position where she can teach people that, you know, when you feel like you're under attack or you believe you're under attack, that's the time to really go and start praying about that particular situation, not wishing that people go to hell. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Or telling people
exactly
to go to hell. I think
very
that's terrible.
Point.
It sounds like there's no accountability. It's not just Paula White. It's happening all across the country. You know, that pastors feel like they can get up there and say whatever. The congregation is starstruck, because that's what it seems like. They become starstruck.
Yeah.
With these pastors and prophetesses and preachers, to the point where they're not really catching these little phrases.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's going right over their head.
Yeah.
And I'm in the field of counseling. So, you know, my undergraduate degree work was addiction counseling, and now I'm in a master's program with counseling, more in depth about counseling. But that's governed by each state. So we have ethical rules and regulations we have to follow.
Yeah.
And then we have laws that we have to follow. And if we don't follow those laws, we could be fined, imprisoned, or your license could be stripped away from you.
Yeah.
But with the pastoral work, there's nothing that governs that. You know, I know there's a separation between church and state, but there's really nothing that really governs, or, you know, what they're doing. And if they start doing something wrong or unethical, there's nothing that really in this realm, because God is the ultimate judge. So they're going to have their judge in the afterlife. But in this realm, you know, there's really nothing.
Well, that's
that
a good point, because supposedly, like, someone like Paula White calls herself a life coach, and you know, she's a counselor or whatever. But yet, there's no ethics there. And if anyone tries to correct her, whereas if in your profession, if someone's trying to correct you, you have to listen to the correction. Otherwise, you're saying you can be imprisoned. You don't tell them to go to hell.
No, never.
No. And so it's really up to the people that are sitting in the seats there that pay to go over there every week. And basically, they're paying their entrance fee to get into this place that Paula calls a church. And it's up to them. They shouldn't be sitting there. And so if that was me and I'm sitting there and my pastor tells people to go to hell, I'm getting up. I'm getting up and I'm heading for the door. And I'm going to call her out and say, no, wait a minute, that's wrong. No, that's wrong. And she's surrounded by men, by elders there, and they don't have a backbone either, these men. And everybody just seems to, they were applauding. The people were applauding her comments. So, it's pretty bad. But so we try to point the things out, we hope people listen and they bring it to their attention. And we hope she listens. I hope she listens and turns from her wicked ways. So, all right. Thanks so much for calling in.
Oh, really?
Anything
quickly,
else?
We had a pastor here in Arkansas who has been married three times, but each time he's married, but he's having relations with someone in the congregation. So the congregation said he needed to leave. And then he got up on the podium and he said that, oh, today will be my last day, even though I've been here 18, 20 years or so. And I'm not going to be putting up with this mess anymore.
Oh, really?
So he made everybody feel like
it's their
elders
fault.
and that are causing the messiness. So there's a lot of denial, disassociation between what is your real true agenda by being up here. So
since
he got kicked out, now he's opened up another church in Arkansas immediately afterwards.
Yeah.
So he's still preaching and, you know, doing the same thing.
Yeah, well,
you know?
the thing is, it's a good job, okay? For most of these people, they're not going to go and get a master's degree or get a degree like you did and work to get a degree and work to have a profession. No, they like scamming people. They can tell people to give me money because I'm a preacher. I deserve to have some money. I'm standing up here telling you about the Bible, so give me your money. And people, why do you think he left there and then he goes and starts another church? Because this is a gig for him. It's not a calling from God. It's not something he's doing for the Lord out of a pure heart. He's doing it because he knows he can earn a living. And so that's why he does it. And if anybody follows him and goes after all the things he's done, and then they actually go over and they're a member of his congregation, then what's wrong with them?
That's true.
You know, can't they think for themselves? So we have to be responsible, too, for our actions, that we put up with these people and we continue to support them. We just have to say enough is enough already. And until I see some fruit in your life and I see some evidence of repentance, then you can't teach me anything. So there's nothing I can learn from you. I can open up my Bible myself and read it for myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm probably better off doing that than going somewhere and listening to a false teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And so, enough.
Thank you.
All right,
thanks
for calling in, okay? Bye-bye.
Okay.
Amen to that. But, that everybody's responsible to answer for their own life. So I was shocked myself by her tirade on Thursday. And they do have some of their services archived. You can go back and watch it yourself on her New Destiny website. They archive most of the programs. I noticed that on Easter Sunday they didn't archive. They had like an illustrated sermon that Paula did, and they had a dancing girl get up. Now, this was very strange. They had a dancing girl get up. And she must have been a former stripper, I guess, at one time, because she was doing that kind of a dance up there. And Paula was narrating, and she's saying, well, you could have had this kind of life. Who goes to church on Sunday, and then a woman gets up and does this kind of dance in front of everybody, okay? I mean, you can do an illustrated sermon about somebody that was a streetwalker without actually performing the nightclub performance on a church, so-called church platform. Now, to me, that was very strange. But they didn't post that video. The video is gone. So I did take a picture of it, of the girl. But I didn't get the video. But to me, that was very shocking. I'm thinking to myself, what is wrong with these people? Why are these people sitting here? Why are these wives sitting here and letting their husbands watch this? Why are these mothers letting their sons watch this? What is wrong with you people over there? So, anyway, here is another clip from Paula talking about her wedding. Now, you notice that this is Thursday. They announced their so-called first wedding that they had in Ghana, and her husband, boyfriend, or whatever he is, Jonathan, says, we sealed the deal. And that's what she says, we sealed the deal. Now, what does that mean? Like, when you got married, did you tell people that we sealed the deal? I never heard it put that way. We sealed the deal. I don't know. That very strange sealed the deal.
It's so much. What, those are the blessings. You know, I'll wait. Now, people might, well, why do you do this? When you walk in it and you give, then you understand why it's so powerful here. But you've got to appreciate the gift. You've got to appreciate the gift. So April 19th, there's envelopes out there so you can appreciate the gift. And I love talking on this mic. I think I took too much time.
This clip I'm playing now, this is one of the men over there at New Destiny. It doesn't have a backbone. And now it's going to be Paula White's birthday, or it was her birthday, I don't know. And anyway, he's telling, now this is this woman, and you're going to hear her say, she's rich, you know, she's rich. But they've got envelopes in the back because you have to appreciate the gift. They got envelopes in the back so that you can give her something for her birthday. Okay. Now, why? There's hundreds of people in this church. Like, what do they get for their birthday? Does anybody get them anything for their birthday? No, but you have to go and take an envelope. And remember, she likes shoes, they told people. So you have to buy her something. You even have to buy her something for her birthday. I remember one church I went to, it was the pastor's wife's birthday, and they bought her, we were at her house for her birthday, and they presented her with a baby grand piano for her living room. That was her birthday present. And then when it was the pastor's birthday, he got a boat. I didn't get anything for my birthday. I didn't even get a card on my birthday. So, now this is Paula White, and you know she's very wealthy, but there's envelopes in the back, okay? So don't forget it's her birthday. So let's show her how much we appreciate her by giving her even more money and shoes. And you know, if Paula was really a pastor and she had a pastor's heart, she'd say to the people, "Look, I don't need anything. I have my own money. I can buy my own stuff." So thank you. Take your money. If you want to give me a birthday gift, let's use that money to feed the poor or to help out some homeless people in this church here. Because, you know, I care about the homeless. She says that she cares about poor people. But, no, Paula has to have more gifts for herself, okay? That's a pastor's heart, right? No, I don't think so. So, anyway, this clip was from Sunday, and you'll hear her so-called husband, boyfriend, whatever he is, and he's going to say they sealed the deal.
It's so much. Those are the blessings. You know, I'll wait.
You notice they're cheering because they're going to give her a birthday present.
Yeah. Now, people might, well, why do you do this? When you walk in it and you give, then you understand why it's so powerful here. But you've got to appreciate the gift. You've got to appreciate the gift. So April 19th, there's envelopes out there so you can appreciate the gift. And I love talking on this mic. I think I took too much time up this morning. So let's get ready to receive. I want you to sit back, get your pen and pad ready, get your mind ready to receive from our apostle, Paula White.
Good morning, family. You doing good?
Family,
well, get out of your seat. Go to at least seven people. Say you look better than you did last week. Say I love you. There's nothing you can do about it. Just speak a word of encouragement. Let them know that God has good things for them, that he's in the supernatural, miracle-working business, that God is on their side, and no matter what the enemy has said or done, the devil is a liar, he is defeated, that this is a season of increase. Let them know, say, I'm going somewhere. Don't look at me right now. Say, God can move me just like that. He can take me from a pit to a palace. Slap somebody a high five. Say, God is good and he is with you. Let's remain standing. I'm excited about the Word of God and all the good things that are happening. And just before we get in the Word, I'm looking over at Duma and Shim, and I think they're starting a fashion show on Bravo Network. And Shim's got the Huckleberry Finn look going on. Aren't you appreciative of our staff, guys? I heard Pastor Doug did an awesome job on Thursday, and so grateful for all the ministers and pastors, and I'm just thankful for you allowing me to go and continue to do what God's called us to do. And my baby and I just got, I just have to keep focused here. In fact, come on up here, baby. We've got a few things to announce. Isn't my handsome husband sexy? I'm sorry. He's always... But we were in L.A. Well, we did a few things. We took about a mini break, a two-day break, because we've just been going nonstop. And then went to L.A. and had meeting after meeting for Paula White Ministry and for some of the syndicated TV programs that we're doing and some of the things that will happen next year, and met with people about launching the shoe line. And I know, so... All right, ladies, this has been a dream in my heart for 20 years. And it's actually coming into fruition. We'll probably even launch either August or next February. We're working on everything. God is good.
Follow my God, he's soul to soul.
I know, he's like, and it's the designer, and this is all going to be incorporated to the message. This is a young lady, and I'll talk to you about in the message that, her parents grew up in El Salvador. She lived there, and she worked in sweatshops. And she watched her mom and dad sew on Calvin Klein jeans, and she learned in just full of joy. Not much money, rarely any money, but they got enough money to start their own little line at a flea market. And then they went to the flea market, and it gave them enough money to come to America. And they had a dream for their daughter that she would get to go to design school. So she went to design school at Fitum in San Francisco, $40,000 a year. They didn't have that kind of money to go to design school, and so she's 19 years old, and she says, I need to go get a job, and she goes and interviews, and they keep telling her, you're a designer, and she wanted to do merchandising and buying, and they said, you're a designer, and so she interviews, and she gets the job, and never even asks what the money is, because she was so passionate about that she got to design and do. She didn't realize she was going to make a whole lot more money than what she could have ever imagined, that would not only pay for her school but buy her parents a home and a car and everything else. So at 19 years old, she launches and she designs for the company that launches Hannah Montana and makes over $140 million that year for that line. She then becomes the head designer for Seven Jeans. Anybody know anything about Seven Jeans? And then she, y'all like, yeah, and she works for DKNY and Barbados and all these different, and young girl, but all she had was a dream and a passion and purpose. Who has a dream here today and a passion and purpose? Because God can do all things. And so she makes hundreds of millions, billions of dollars for companies, and she's a giver, she's a strong Christian. And so she decides, I want to help build schools in El Salvador to give back to where God brought me from. And so she puts on a fashion show and raises funds. And when she does this, they said, hey, you've done this for everybody else, and you just raised a whole lot of money for your passion purpose. Why don't you launch your own company? So she launches her own company a year ago. Well, she contacts me on Instagram. Yeah, and she names it after her grandma. See, I know, I said I don't have my hand mic up here. And so she names it after her grandma, and she launches her own company, long story short, and she contacts me on Instagram and says, you know, I'd love to design a dress for you sometime. And a lot of people contact you, and I just, you know, kind of ignored it at first. And then I said, and John goes, you know, God's telling me you need to contact her. And so I said, I just procrastinate. Now, procrastination is an enemy to your purpose. Amen. And so I had a gatekeeper that just kept telling me, you need to contact her. So we started putting out pictures. Yeah, we'll give John a microphone because we're going to tell a few others. We started putting out pictures.
Give John
and,
a microphone.
If, you know, we wanted to let people know that, you know, this wasn't just Pastor Paul doesn't, you know, shack up or do anything or, you know, I live in alignment with God. Amen. Do what's right. Live righteous with God. Come on. Oh, some of y'all are like, there are people here shacking up going, uh-oh.
We sealed the deal in Ghana.
Amen.
Archbishop Duncan. Archbishop Duncan Williams blessed us.
Amen.
And he'll be here for the wedding, and we talked to him last night, and he is so excited to come, and he has changed my life.
Aww.
Really have.
I'm ready to tell you guys all about that.
And so has your pastor changed my life. I'll tell you what.
This is how, all this is part of your story.
I always tell my friends, I got God and the girl.
So I'm putting out pictures, right? And she says, wedding? Well, you already know that your pastor's not going to be living in a sinful situation. So we made things right between God and ourselves and our coverings. We met with Archbishop and with Papa, and we took care of business in Ghana. But we decided we wanted to have an American celebration with our family and friends. So we wanted to do everybody, but there's not a place except the convention center to hold everybody. So we said we'll do a private ceremony for our family on April 25th, and then on April 26th, which is two Sundays from now, we'll do a public one that night for all of New Destiny Christian Center and for everybody. So we actually get married three times. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we're going to have our American wedding celebration. So we're inviting every one of you to the wedding on April 26th at 6 p.m. Archbishop's going to preach that morning. So he'll be with us. Everybody from Ghana's flying in. Bishop Jake's. Everybody's coming in. All our friends and family are coming from all over the world. But here's why I say this, because God is so good, amen? I mean, God is so good. Look at somebody, slap them a high five, say, God is good. It's part of the message. But I need you guys to RSVP, okay? So you have to go to Paula and John, A-N-D, P-O-P-O, P-A-U-L-A-A-N-D, J-O-N, okay, at ndcc.com, because we need you to RS.TV. Because we need you to RSVP, okay? So, John says, why don't you contact her? And her name's Joanna. This is all part of the sermon, too. And I said, okay. And so I reach out, and she says, why don't she goes, I'd love to design your dress, wedding dress. And I was like, well, that's really cool. And so she says, I'd love. She goes, and it'll just be minimal, and, you know, I won't charge you what other people, because she's a very expensive designer. So she calls me back. She said, you know, Pastor Paula, she said, you have ministered so much to me. She said, there's no way that I can charge you. God, I begin to pray, and God told me to gift this into your life. See, don't hate.
Angels at work, people. Angels
favor
at work.
Is good. Come on. Your neck. Come on, your neck. Because it's a season of increase. My baby. And so I go out to do the dress fitting, and I share with her. I said, you know what? I've always had in my heart to do a shoe line. I said, for 20 years, I've been sketching and drawing and putting things there. And she goes, really? She said, because I've always believed God to design for someone who is spiritual, and the only person that I could think of was you, Pastor Paula.
Oh, yes.
And so I just want you to know, whatever's in your heart, come on, God will.
Can't take anymore. Oh, please. The poor lady, the designer, she wants a design for somebody that's spiritual? Wait a minute. And I'm going to play this clip of Paula bragging about all the hundreds of millions of dollars she's had flow through her hands. And somebody has to donate the wedding dress. Are you kidding me? And notice, now you hear her so-called husband, fiancé, or whatever he is. You hear him, and you notice that he says, we sealed the deal And then she says, your pastor doesn't shack up. So we took care of business in Ghana. Now, to me, that's very strange because I don't know anybody, people I know, my friends that got married, nobody ever told me they sealed the deal and they took care of business. They said, we got married and this is my husband and this is my wife. But you don't hear that. And notice she says, we're going to have a private ceremony for our family. But she calls the people there at the church family, but they're not invited to the private ceremony because, no, they don't want to rub shoulders with the congregation from New Destiny. No, they don't want to rub shoulders with them at this private wedding they're going to have. Who has three weddings? Who has three weddings? Who? And then they're going to have a 6 o'clock on Sunday for the excuse me, I'm not calling the people that New Destiny riffraff, but in other words, we're going to have a 6 o'clock for riffraff on Sunday night because you're not invited to our private ceremony. No, you can't come to that. You can only come to the 6 o'clock service that we're going to have on Sunday. Just, we want to make you feel like you're important, but you're not really that important because you're not invited to my real wedding. Or you weren't invited to the first wedding either that we had in Ghana. I don't know. It to me, it's all very strange, okay? And now she says that she's going to start a shoe line. She's going to start a shoe business. Like, okay. I'm going to start a shoe business. All right. Anyway, I'm going to play this clip. Now, this is Paula bragging about all her millions of dollars that she's had flow through her fingers, which I don't know where it is because there's two boarded up bankrupt businesses there in Tampa and Lakeland that she left before she went over there. So
told me this and dug this. God had spoke to me, and I'm standing in the shower, and I've been praying, and I was seeking the Lord, and I get out, and I meet up with John, and I said, baby, I said, God just spoke to me, and God said to me, and I've only heard this one other time in my life, he said, I'm getting ready, and this was before all the meetings and before all the deals and other things that are on the table, he said, I'm getting ready to put a lot of wealth in your hands. He said, and a lot of wealth will flow through your hands. You see, I understand something about wealth. Will I get to enjoy a portion of it? Absolutely. That means I can buy a few more shoes or make them this time. But it doesn't just mean that, because wealth is not just for you to consume. It's for you to be a conduit. So if God can get anything through you, whether it's love or goodness or kindness or wealth, he's looking for people that he can build his kingdom with. He's looking for people that he can trust. He can trust with the anointing. He can trust with wisdom. He can trust with wealth. You better slap somebody and say, God's testing you out. Say it's your season for increase. And so I understand that the wealth that will come through my hands, and I've had hundreds of millions of dollars come through my hands. I'm not ashamed of the gospel and the power thereof, and to say that God hasn't just blessed me for me, because that would be materialism. God has blessed me to be a blessing, because I want to see nations change. I want to build education centers. I want not only the city of Destiny here in Apopka, but I see it in Atlanta. I see it in Los Angeles. I see it in Chicago. I see it in New York. I see it in Birmingham. Come on, I see it in Arkansas. I see it all over the world. I see it in South Africa, and I know that God will allow us to raise up and do great and mighty things for him. You better slap somebody one more time and say, I'm empowered for purpose as I preach for the next 15 minutes. And so God spoke to Brad, and the word was, the Lord is willing to release properties into the people's hands this year. And specifically, there are three areas that it seems he would be looking to do so. He would release property to them if they, one, would dedicate it through prayer.
Number two, if they would evangelize through action. And number three, if they will create community through hospitality. And that's the word of the Lord. And I come in agreement with apostolic authority, and I declare to you that God will release property to you. But there is a purpose for that property that is being released to you. That if it will be dedicated through prayer, if you will evangelize through action, and if you will create community through hospitality. So I declare there is wealth coming to you. I declare that there is property coming to you, that there is increase coming to you. For God's word declares in Psalm 115, verse 14, the Lord shall increase you the more and the more, you and your children. So over the next several weeks, I came to work with your faith. I came to let you know what stewardship is about, how to walk in increase, how to manage your time, talents, and treasures, how to understand how you build according to God's methods, what the kingdom of God is. So Matthew chapter 25, which is a very familiar parable. Let's get into it quickly so I can teach you for about 30 minutes. You ready? Let's go. Slap.
This woman is ridiculous. She's going to teach you. She's going to teach you. The woman that helped to bankrupt two churches, left deserted buildings, unpaid bills. This is she's going to teach you about stewardship. She's going to teach you. She's going to decree over your life that you're going to have property and blessings. And notice she's telling people to slap somebody. Now, I don't want to go to church and have somebody slapping me. Please, leave me alone. No, don't slap me. Slap somebody. She knows about wealth because wealth is to bless somebody. You have to be a blessing. And she's going to build the city of destiny over there. She's building the city of destiny. I hope it's not destined to wind up like the city over there in the city she was building in Lakeland or the city she was building in Tampa. I hope it's not destined to wind up like that. Why do we need a city of destiny? Why? Why do you need a city of destiny in Atlanta or anywhere else? She didn't shake any nations yet. She's going to shake nations. She didn't do that yet, okay? We don't need any cities of destiny. All we need is you need a meeting house, a fellowship hall to go to if you want to go someplace on Sunday or you want to go someplace during the week. Yeah, you need a little meeting hall. That's all you need. We don't need any cities of destiny. No, you don't need that. You know, people don't need to be supporting that. They need to be feeding their family and paying their bills and paying their mortgage. And if they want to go over to the church house on Sunday and help support the work over there, that's fine. But no, we don't need any cities of destiny. No. That whole thing is just another sham. It's just another way to get people to give her money. I mean, she's got all these dreams and visions. But, no, we don't need all that. Those days are over. But I'm not going to get to Rod Parsley today. I was going to play some of his clips from his new Passover sham, Pesach Shaney. Dear. Now, Rod is more ridiculous than, but I'm going to play this last clip. Now, this is Paula White and Larry Hook. So this is the woman that brought us this.
Into a priestly anointing.
Jesus is not the only begotten Son of God. He is not. I'm a son of
God. He's the first fruit.
He's the first fruit. He's the firstborn of many. Jesus is not the only begotten Son of God. He is not. I'm a son of poverty until I learn the third place that Jesus shed his blood to break the curse of poverty.
And I want to hit that because poverty is
a curse. Absolutely.
You know, and people have to understand this so much more.
Same thing with prosperity. The word redeem means to be brought back. In the Garden of Eden, there was no poverty, there was no hunger, there was no need of food stamps, there was no debt. It was a land that flowed with milk and honey. God wants his children living voluptuously. I got no problem with a basketball player driving a Rolls Royce. I got no problem with a baseball player flying in an airplane.
We expect that.
We expect that. Why can't a child that God has? Thorns are a symbol of debt in Hebrew, of debt,
right,
poverty, and lack.
Come on,
and
teach.
So here they come with Jesus.
Teach.
They see the symbol of debt, poverty, and lack. In mocking Jesus, they build a crown out of these thorn bushes. They take that crown and press it into the brow of Jesus. Now, God said to Adam, by the sweat of your brow, no matter how hard you work, no matter how hard you sweat, you're never going to get ahead because I'm not Jehovah Jireh anymore. But here comes Jesus, and they take that curse of poverty and lack, press it into the brow of Jesus. We're cursed by the sweat of Adam's brow. Those thorns pierced the brow of our Savior, and the curse of poverty has been broken, and we're reconnected to Jehovah. Our
Whoa! That's the same Paula White, okay? That's the same Paula White who said that. Her and Larry Huck said that Jesus was not the only begotten Son of God, and that after Adam, God Almighty ceased to be Jehovah Jireh. Oh, yeah, well, you would have had a hard time telling Solomon that. You would have had a hard time telling Abraham that. He is a liar, and so is she. So is she. They're trying to say that Jesus broke the curse of poverty with the crown of thorns on his head? Well, okay, that's Pastor Paula. That's Apostle Paula. You heard it. You heard it. You can get all of, yeah, what blasphemy, amen. Blasphemy. Blasphemy. It's time now for people at New Destiny and all the Paula White supporters out there, it's time to examine yourself and say, enough already. We're not going to have any more of this. We're finished with this, and we're calling on Paula White to repent and turn from her wicked ways and stop abusing God's people. Stop abusing God's people. Enough already. It's enough. It's enough. Because the thing is, God does judge so-called ministries. We remember when God judged Jimmy Swaggart. Remember when God judged Jimmy Swaggart back in the 1980s? Remember when God judged Jim Baker in the 1980s? Remember that? It wasn't pretty. It was horrible. It was horrible. And God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So if I was Paula White, I'd be getting down on my knees and I'd be really crying out to God and asking God to forgive me. And then I'd get up in front of that congregation and I'd come clean to those people and to the television audience. Enough. Enough already. But that's our program today, and like I said, I won't get a chance today to get to Rod Parsley, but hopefully, and if there's anybody that lives in the Orlando area and you have a chance to go to this wedding, that would be interesting if you could go on April 26th there at 6 p.m. in Apopka, Florida, just outside of Orlando. If you could go and then report on it, my address, my email address is susan@propheticnews.com. If you can go and report on it and give us a report, that would be great. You know, I can put you on the air, or you can email me if you don't want to come on and just tell me not what you observed. But anyway, so we need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But let me read a couple scriptures to you here. Ezekiel 22:27. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey. to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. Numbers 22:7. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. So we don't preach the gospel for filthy lucre's sake. We don't preach the gospel for dishonest gain. We want to tell people the truth of the word of God, whether we get offerings or not. I don't preach for offerings. I don't. I'm free. I want to be free to preach the gospel freely. I don't want to be muzzled. And when I was out preaching, and I stopped going out into public ministry as far as preaching, you know, riding the circuit, as they say, in 1997. I haven't held any public meetings, and I didn't want to be muzzled. I wanted to tell people the truth, but they don't want the truth in most of the churches. They don't want to be questioned. They don't want to be corrected. They want to build their little kingdoms and their bank accounts and whatever, and they don't want to be accountable. But I want to be accountable for my life. I want to be accountable for what I say and how I say it. Freely I have received, so freely I give. I want to be a vessel of honor, and that should be our desire. That should be anyone that opens the Bible and can teach the Bible. It should be your desire to preach it honestly, without any ulterior motives. And we want to see more of that. Let's bring back honesty and integrity. Let's bring back real love of the brethren, real love for the saints, were that we love people enough to be able to tell them the truth, because the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend, and iron sharpens iron. And we've all needed correction in our lives. So we can either tell people, you know, like Paula did, excuse me, you know, go to hell if you try to correct me, or we can receive the correction and examine ourselves and say, okay, I'm going to see if what they're telling me is true, and then I'm going to try to make the corrections. That's the godly thing to do, not tell people that, you know, you can go to hell if you try to correct me, and how dare you, and all this. No, that's not the attitude we should have, okay? And also, we use the clips under the fair use copyright law, where you can use other people's copyrighted material for commentary and for reporting. And we don't make any money, even if we put the audio up on YouTube. We don't make any money for using anyone's audio. So we don't do that. This is not a money-making venture. And that's illegal. You can't use anybody else's copyrighted material to make money. So, like I said, there is a fair use copyright law where you can use certain portions of audio and video. But the most important thing today is to give your life to Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus Christ said, ye must be born again. First, you're born of your mother. And then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And also read the book of Romans today, where Jesus said that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your life today. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead, and he resurrected and ascended into heaven. And he sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. Ask Jesus into your life today, and you won't be sorry. So thank you, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of my broadcast today, everybody in the chat room. Thank you. And my caller, thank you for calling in. So we'll be with you next week for another edition of Prophetic News. God bless.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. City that's set on a hill, its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.